lot of us are people who are kind of laurel worshippers. Just put it that way.
Well, thank you, Mary. I'm so grateful to be invited, and I feel so sad and guilty for being late. I was one thing after another, and I missed it, but I thought, this is a stress test, actually. You know? But what I want to do with you is in the time we have, and I'm wondering if people could stay a little bit later so you can see the whole wrap-up. I'd like to actually give you some time to take the tools. And I am really thirsty, and I would love a glass of water if anyone has it.
Let me grab one.
Thank you. Let's see. Let's start in the beginning. The beginning is that stress is causing most suffering and human problems in the world today. Stress is increasing. And it used to be that we could just think about stress as a, you know, just relax or blow off some stress by going for some exercise. And we've long surpassed that. And right now, the stress levels in the world are worldwide, and it's only going to be increasing because of shrinking resources. You know, the more conflicts that will come, the global warming. We are going to be probably not losing the planet because we didn't recycle. We're probably going to be losing the planet if too many people are wired for stress. In that state of stress, we are naturally get what we want when we want it without regard to the future or to anybody else. And that's true of all of us. And one of the messages I'm going to show you, because this is all based on neuroscience, is the lessons of neuroscience. Remember before, all of our therapies had to be, we had to have a good guess, we had to have a good theory. Well, that's no longer the case, because what's happening now is we can look into the brain, and we can see which of those treatments that we've used actually line up with neuroscience. That has most people in the health professions really scrambling to make those decisions and those changes, and certainly we did too. What I'd like to suggest to you is that the overriding message that I get out of studying this is that one of the brain being an organ of compassion and power, particularly if we know how to use it. And what EBT will give you the power to do is to change your brain state, not because the circumstances change, but because you know how to work with your brain. Just the way you know how to type, you know how to switch the emotional, behavioral, cognitive level of your brain state. It's a different world. Now, I feel pretty humble because, you know, I'm 62 years of age. I couldn't find my way here on time. I have, you know, I'm a single parent of three children who've been raised. And all I can say from a woman's standpoint is, follow your passion and make the kids first. That's what Mary was saying. Because you make the kids first and then you find ways. And the years go by really quickly. And you're a happy person because even through the ups and downs and the crying and the upsets and the lost grams and whatever, there's a sense of passion that you're doing what you came to Earth to do. And I certainly believe a community of people came to Earth to do this. And neuroscientists, particularly Igor Mitrovich, has joined us lately. We have an NIH grant for pregnant women. We teach this through the counselors of faculty life group at UCSF. We have student classes and medical students. What I want you to know, to come away from this with, is knowing four principles of neuroscience that will change how you begin to process daily life. These are axiomatic, many of them. And this is actually an integration of three different areas. And, you know, what I have to tell you is that attachment theory has been there for many, many years. But now it's neuroscience-based. We knew that the brain was emotionally plastic. Was plastic. In other words, we changed with experience. But we only knew it 5 years ago that the emotional brain of humans, those circuits that cause most human suffering are plastic. And, of course, we always knew that stress was something to deal with, but we didn't know that it had a curvilinear effect on the brain. So putting all this together brings us some very important tools that give us much more power. It's particularly important to those of us who are taking care of bringing up the next generation, of education, of looking at how are we going to create a society with whole people, mind, body, and spirit, who have the capacity to move through stress and do well in school and well in the community and well in their families. Right now, the paradigm in healthcare is you use medications, devices, and procedures, and you get good effects. It's very costly, but also often you don't get to the underlying problem. So as soon as you remove the medications or whatever, the symptoms come back. This is very costly on many levels. So I think what we've all been looking for, not just EBC, is a way to get to the root cause. You get to the root cause, and stress is the root cause of 80% of health problems and medical visits. And again, most humans suffer, and I'll show you why in a minute. But we want to get, if we got at the wiring of stress, we've rewired self-regulation. Because the way you're regulating right now is caused by wires that are triggered in time measured in 10,000ths of a second. It is completely unconscious what is actually controlling right now. These wires are so important to survival that they're encoded in the emotional brain, which is not very plastic, and is not conscious. So you're not conscious if you're triggering wires, but that's exactly what's happening. But if we could rewire how we self-regulate, perhaps we could really create a revolution in healthcare. And so the idea is that this method's been around a long time, and we've moved and been attracting many other people. Mary Krogan was absolutely seminal in family medicine, doing the first studies. You can see we had influence from psychiatry, physiology, and neuroscience is now very involved. We have a Center for Emotional Brain Training Research at UCSF, and Amy Levine was the one in the last few years who brought it to many more students, faculty, and staff. So I'm going to go through the four concepts. So these concepts are not suitable, but when you put them all together, all of a sudden, some magic is made. So follow me with this. First thing we're going to do is say, it's not us. When I go to the refrigerator and overeat, then I yell at my kid, it's not me, it's really a wire. Because all thoughts, emotions, and behaviors are just strings of neurons that actually encode what we did in the past. So the brain wants to do whatever it did in the past, so unconsciously. And so it encodes these circuits, and every time we trigger the circuit again, it gets stronger and more easily triggered. Are you following me? There's two kinds, just like a novel, a bad guy and a good guy. This is the good guy. This is a non-anatomical representation, not your brain, of a neuronal stress circuit. But to get the idea, for example, I was just on the highway, and there was just all of a sudden a big block, and there was an accident, and I was just stalled just like that. And I look ahead, and I look at the clock. That was the first of the incidences. So a stressor comes in my brain, right? And the first response is subcortical. So if you think of the neocortex and then the subcortical, which is the emotional brain, which is all the unconscious stuff. If I sort of jumped, I thought, oh, then I reassured myself. Well, I'm going to do the best I can, and I can call Mary on the phone. So essentially, if we respond not excessively or not enough, but just kind of, yeah, this is a problem. From the bottom of our brain comes an emotional wire that is an expectation based on all of our experience from the past. I've been stuck like this before, right? I expect myself to call Mary. I expect myself to focus and not get in an accident. And I expect to reassure myself that I'm not a horrible person if I'm late. And then I continue to look at the road and not get in an accident. And that, at that point, I took a wrong turn. But the idea is it's an adaptive response, and the whole of our physiology. Have you ever noticed how when you have a leaf and on a bush next to a window, that the leaf turns with the sun? Well, that's the truth. So the leaf turns to the sun, and all of homeostasis, all of our self-regulation, that's most of which is unconscious, is headed for joy, which is not happiness. It's the brain state where you're relaxed, focused, you can think magnificent thoughts, you feel rewarded, and that state is best for health and happiness. This is a homeostatic circuit. We all have a lot of them, and this is what saves mankind and humankind. It's a negative feedback loop, which is very, very sensitive. Now, with the amount of stress that we have these days, more of us are forming these circuits, where we overwhelm the homeostatic process, and so we have an overreaction or underreaction. We actually either shut down and have no feelings at all, just completely dissociate. Or we ramp up so much we don't know, we're hostile, depressed, ashamed, scared, panicked, chronically anxious. And in that state, we activate circuits that are stored when we're stressed in our brain, and they are unreasonable. So it might be for me in the car saying, I might as well just turn back because I'm never going to make it now, okay? Or I'm not going to ask that person on event. I was talking to Clyde Block which way Franklin Street is, because I don't want to bother him. Okay? And so we get more and more unreasonable expectations, and then we have to just do something. And whatever we do is not only deleterious to us, but it doesn't get us back to the joy. The price to pay for every time we have stress and we're out of whack. For example, this is the most important thing is the positive feedback loop. There are no internal shutoff valves in this. This is a survival, terrified response. And so instead of just flickering, it gets stuck. Have you ever had that happen where you just get stuck in a bad mood for an hour or a day or whatever?
No.
And these are the perpetrators of health problems. These find stress. These give us we've got to do something. So we turn to ice cream or whatever we can turn to in order to stop the stress because we can't do it internally. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right there.
So if you just imagine there's a bag on your right and a bag on your left, and here's all your homeostatic circuits, we're going to call those joy circuits, and here are the allostatic circuits that make us miserable and hungry and tired and itchy and all those kinds of things, witchy, and we all have both things we just do, and most of them we got before the age of three. Those of you who are moms in the audience, there's 70% transmission between our parents, our primary parent, whoever wired our brain 3 years of life in the last 3 months of pregnancy, the self-regulatory circuits go in first, and then they get set there. So whether or not you think of it that way, we process stress 70% of the way, just the way our parents do. We don't think we do.
So if our children are at daycare, then whoever is raising them in daycare is the one that really has primary impact on them.
Yeah, maybe the daycare person has primary impact. However, the salience of the emotional connection with you, whatever the brain finds very emotionally strong, those are the problems. You see what I mean? So parents, kids end up more like their parents or their caretakers during the day, but their caretakers definitely have an effect because the emotional brain only learns by experience. And that's why doctors, lawyers, highly educated people have more of these, because they can get by with using their neocortex, their thinking brain, and they're so smart that they can kind of cope that way, and they don't necessarily have to pick up feelings, but they just ramp up more and more of these circuits. So all the time we're either triggering a homeostatic good guy or an allostatic trigger that makes us stuck in stress, but whatever is triggered, it goes into a brain state. This is very important, and I like to use the triune brain. You think of left and right hemispheres. The reason I'm using the triune brain here, these cute pictures, is because this is how stress is processed. The top of our brain is very slow. That's the neocortex. The bottom of our, in responding to if the lion were coming in the room, we don't really need to talk when a lion's coming in the room. We just need to hightail it away. And the quickest part of the brain, as it goes down, it's quicker. And so the more stress there is, the more threat, because we're really set up for physical threats, not emotional threats, the more this area of the brain will be in charge. Okay? So the brain is very primitive, down low. This is the limbic system or mammalian brain. This is all about connection. And then the lofty neocortex. The reason this is important is because as stress increases, as I mentioned, the area of the brain that's in charge changes. This is extremely important because we are different people in different brain states because different areas of our brain are in charge. And so we just name them 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Some of them. Okay, so there's 5. This is the most stress, where the reptilian brain that's really snappish is in charge. 1 is where you can think, your whole brain is in balance, you feel joy. And so this is what that means. It means that when you're feeling great, you're going to be different on every level. And it gets more and more, universally, men and women, gay and straight, any ethnicity, any SES, socioeconomic group, this is the primitive part of the brain, and we're all the same. And anyone in stress, brain state 5, is going to be extreme and maladaptive, okay? So when you're in grade state 5, you know that you should not have sent that nasty email. you can say, well, just a wire to trigger the brain state. Okay. Now, the other part of this from a medical standpoint that I think is extremely important is that right now the healthcare system is set up not brain-based. And that's going to change. Because, let's see, I gave a talk recently on food addiction. Okay? Now, the person who's in brain state 5, they're going to have behaviors that are, what, extreme. They're going to oversleep, undersleep, overeat, undereat. Everything's going to be extreme. Mm-hmm. And so if our system set up with diagnoses in one area like this, the person in a brain state of 5 is going to have lots of maladaptive behaviors. Mm-hmm. And those maladaptive behaviors are going to exacerbate the other one. Relationships which we genetically rely on for soothing and coping. So our brains are set up to be social brains, so we connect and soothe each other. When I saw Mary downstairs, you know, my heart just saying, oh, she didn't leave after all. and so instead of being close and able to really connect and process stress with each other intimately, we are merged because we want to get the safety and love from them that we can't get from ourselves. Basically, we're using them. Or distance, go away from me, I barely have enough for myself. This is normal. So we miss that thought of connection. Emotionally, we're either dissociated or ramped up. So some people are depressed, some people are hostile, some people are anxious, some people are ashamed, some people are fantasized, whatever. But the same degree of variance from healthy. Our thinking is totally and completely irrational and obsessive and dread. Are you with me? Okay. So we need, so from my perspective, we need to be training, identifying people's brain states, particularly where they're stuck, and treating the wiring in the brain itself so we get more long-term changes or more broad spectrum than just one particular change. The other thing that's interesting about the brain is that it's reward-driven. You and I have to get rewards every single day, and there are only two brain states in which the reward circuitry is activated. Brain state 1, and then it's all about love and light. You know, all the higher order rewards saying, I'm doing this out of integrity. I'm doing this out of spirituality. I'm doing this just to be authentic. All those higher order rewards are actually associated with the survival of the species. The work by George Valiant is absolutely brilliant, looking at how these rewards that are being good, of emotional or spiritual evolution, are actually rewarded with a dopamine surge, because the long term survival of the species is based on our capacity to be rewarded for doing good. Okay. Now, if we can't get these rewards because we're stressed out, the brain naturally tries to find rewards somewhere else. And all of these, what they have in common, there's nothing wrong with them, but they tend to repetitive. They work in the short term, or repetitive, and tend to be maladaptive and addictive in the long term. And so we can actually think of a lot more of these. And so stressed out people, when you think, move from one what we call external solution to another. Mm-hmm. What are some other external solutions here that people use? Other artificial ways of getting rewarded when they can't get the rewards that our brain is set up for because they're too stressed out. What's another one?
Gambling.
Oversleeping. Sex.
Bad sex, right.
Obsessive exercise. Right. From one of these external solutions to the next to get your reward, but it won't satisfy the way a loving glance will, an emotional connection, feeling like you did the right thing. Okay, so we have, not us, it's our wiring, because it gets triggered in 10,000 of a second. Wiring triggers brain states. Then what happens? These brain states tend to get stuck. So this is all the work of Bruce McEwen, which is every time we go into stress, pop down, there comes wear and tear on the brain, so the brain gets more apt to be stressed out again. The body gets wear and tear on it, and every single episode of stress adds up to what we call allostatic load. So those allostatic circuits that are like the stress buzzers back on lead to more and more load. All of us in this room have a certain amount of it. Wear and tear, you know, dysregulation in our bodies, different diseases, and our brain being more and more wired to instantly go to stress and stay there. This is great work by Coop, which essentially talks, this is about the reward circuitry. The first time somebody had a drink, they felt better, and then the hangover. But notice that they didn't come quite back to the same level of reward. And this is what happens in the reward pathway. They get hijacked by stress. and they begin to bring down our set points. So our brain loves to have set points. It likes to be able to predict something. So what it does is it predicts how stressed should I be right now in this meeting based on how I was stressed before. And so if you were stressed in this kind of a meeting, this looks like a meeting in brain state one, but let's say it's a meeting in brain state four, your brain will absolutely go to that because it cares more about what's familiar than what feels good. Okay? So the more time you spend in stress, the more the brain wants to be in stress, and if all of a sudden you were joyful and you, won the lottery, that would actually be more stressful for the brain than staying in stress. It likes to stay in stress and get. So what happens is, in time, the stress comes back around to the brain and it starts cannibalizing the very structures that keep us human. So what keeps us able to have control in our lives are two structures in the brain.
Ouch.
One is the prefrontal cortex, the grand overseer. The other is the hippocampus, which says, oh, don't worry, let's put this all in context. Mm-hmm. Both of those structures are highly, highly affected by stress, and they start to wither and atrophy, and so that we're just a big emotional brain doing whatever we've done before, and we have a hard time changing. So it actually breaks down just the structures that protect us. And so at some point for many of us, and if you think about people who have the most problems in our society, who are in the hospital or have more difficulties, they're actually in a fixed state of stress where the brain is established that brain state is stuck at 4 or 4.5 or 5 or 3.5. And then the brain likes that state and it's really hard to change. And at that point, so many medications and so many problems in relationships come. And essentially, we're pretty stressed out. So part of it is knowing what your set point is, and there are tests for that as well. But the idea is, the good news is that we now know that all of us in this room, you, me, and essentially all humans, because these are very simple skills. When I started doing this, I thought, so why is there so much disparity the world over? It just doesn't seem right that it just doesn't seem right. And it turns out that if you have the tools to actually work with your emotional brain, you can have a sense of reward regardless of circumstance. If you have everything in God's earth dumped on your lap, and you don't have the capacity to move out of stress back to joy, you have nothing. Because your life will be just drowned by stress and excesses. So we're going to create new art. Doesn't that sound good?
Yes.
Okay. So this, and I want you to appreciate that this is done in community. You could even have a community group here. But you've done in community this work. And the reason is the emotional brain is originally wired between parent and child. And I can look at you, your name is Susan. I'm looking at Susan right now, and you're looking at me. Come here. So you're looking at me, and I'm looking at you. And just being together. Okay? How does that feel? What do you know?
First, I felt more stressed on that, so I felt more calm.
There's something going on between us, which is called co-regulation. And you put two emotional brains together, and all of a sudden your brain state lifts up 1 to 2, and just into the arena where it's most effective in being rewired. So that's why, thank you. That's why being together, being in community, tribes of women, tribes of people together, practicing these tools makes it not only joyful, but really easy. So this is the idea. The brain is use-dependent plasticity. You can't think your way to moving up your brain state. You have to be present in the moment. Check out what's happening in your emotional brain. Whatever it is, switch it up to feeling better. And the more you do that, you train your PFC to rewire your emotional brain. And you actively switch your state. Now, when you think about meditation, so this EBT is based on the x-axis of EBT. It's mindfulness, being present and loving and connected and aware. But the y-axis is, no matter what level of stress you are, if you know how to work with your brain, to use that tool for that level of stress, remember, there are all different areas of the brain in charge, because you can switch it up. You can create a brain state 1 out of 4, a 1 out of 5. And you can do it within 2 minutes. It takes about 2 minutes to do the tool. And so you can spend more moments of the day in that state of balance where you can think well, you can use your talents well, where you're a loving person, and pretty soon the brain gets into the joy habit because it's really, it just does what you need to do. And of course, the idea is, how do we know how to get from stress to joy? Well, mothers do it every day. And the dyadic relaxation, in order to have survival of the species, this is basically what I'm talking with you about, is very primitive biology, so evolutionary biology. In the brain of the mother is the tendency to move their baby, to read the emotional state of their baby, and move them back to one and to a state of joy. Again, that's optimal for health and happiness, is a positive, connected emotion. And this is what moms do that are securely attached all the time. And that's how they wire their babies for you. So we can do the same thing. We can just compassionately observe ourselves, lovingly observe, say, what's she doing now? How's it going for her now? And then, what state am I in? And there are only five states. And so you take basically a two-minute vacation once an hour to breathe. Put your hand on your stomach. Put your hand on your stomach. Let's just do it for a second, okay? Put your hand on your stomach. And these are all evidence-based processes. There's nothing in EBT that hasn't been evidence-based, and that's why it was chosen. So you're going to do diaphragmatic breathing, which is to really kind of push your stomach out so you can see your hands move. Be aware of your breathing. And if you will, use proprioception to give your brain the message you're in a state of well-being. It's very easy. Just put your shoulders back, your chin up, and a little smile on your face. And then we have the most magical thing. Use decentering, which is warmly observe yourself without judgment. Warmly observe yourself in the present moment. There's a slight wave of relaxation in your body. That's the activation. And the slight reward application as well. And just with a nurturing voice, ask yourself, what about my numbers? Am I at 1, feeling great? 2, feeling okay, feeling good. 3, a little stressed. 4, definitely stressed. 5, stressed out. Remember, it's normal to be in all of those states. So before we learn how to switch it up, let's just lovingly accept that for who I am right now, I need to be loving acceptance of any brain that fears what good parents do and is in keeping with survival. That's right. About for me in this situation. Okay, who did it? Who did it? How many people were at 1? How many people were at 2? How many people were at 3? How many people were at 4? Nobody at 4. Okay. So what we need is we need more stress. In this brain state of 4, that's where you can rewire the circuits from the past. All the circuits from your mother, the circuits from the guy who left you or the woman who left you, the circuits from all of the difficulties in test, you wear only in brain state 4 because you have to open it. Can you be with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens between mom and daughter and son? To each of the states, they do something different. When the kid is on the floor screaming, you give them reassurance. When they're really happy, you enjoy that. So what we've done with EBT is we just copy those tools. It's their biological state. They also fit in with the neuroscience of the brain. And so these are what people are. You can try one of them later if you want. So I'm going to just, you can see that they're all, what would a mother do? Let's be compassionate, joyful. How do you feel? What do you mean? And all of a sudden in brain state 3, there's so many negative feelings, positive ones. If you clear away and express the negative ones, the positive ones are there and it pushes you up. If you're in brain state 4, you want to just talk about it. You want to say what's bothering you, right? And then if you can feel all 4 negative feelings, you actually open the wire. And it's usually a reasonable expectation. You wire it, and then you grind it in. And that actually crushes the wire. I'm going to show you that in a minute. So So, but the good thing, I think, basically, we now know, and this has been for some years now, that you can get from stress to joy if you know the pathway in the brain, and there are only 5 tools. So from 4 to 1, 3 to 1, and they all go up to 1. They all go up to 1. Because that's part of our biology, that we need to be. Okay, so how are we going to rewire those stress circuits? Well, this is the tool. This is a tool. I could actually show someone how to use this tool, but I'm going to go through it briefly. And see, here's this. I saw my father. I saw my children on Saturday. I was really working hard, and all of a sudden I realized that my son John hadn't called. He's my youngest one, and I'm a single parent with 3 kids. And you know, a single parent, you just put so much effort into your kids because no one else there. and then all of a sudden they go away and they leave you alone. So I just realized all of a sudden that John had not called me, and that he had asked for some space because he's 22 and he's trying to be more, you know, not have to call mom all the time. And so I got this really bad feeling in my gut that I can feel now, and it put me down to brain state 4. So the way I use this tool is I say, okay, the situation is I have this kid that I've bled puddles for. I've done everything I possibly can to raise this kid. He's my last one. He's up there at Davis right now. He's doing great. And he doesn't want me to come up for his birthday. He hasn't called me in 2 weeks. And I feel angry that he's deserted me. I hate it. And I'm gonna express each of these feelings 4 or 5 times. That opens the circuit. If you can't express the emotion, you don't transform. Can you listen to me? Okay. And this is private, right? Also, I'm going to say things here that are really socially unacceptable, but when you're in brain state 4, unless you say those feelings, you don't open the circuit. So this is not me, it's just my wire. So I feel angry that he's so selfish. I hate it that he doesn't even need me anymore. I hate he doesn't bother to call me for 2 weeks as if I'm just a piece of rubbish. I feel sad that he doesn't love me in the same way anymore. I feel sad that I'm not needed. I feel afraid that I've hurt his feelings. I feel afraid that I've done something wrong. I feel afraid he's done something wrong. And I feel guilty that I just want to call him. And what's my unreasonable expectation? That I get my safety from John being okay. Do I really get my safety from John being okay? No, I get my safety from me being okay and giving him the love he needs, not overkilling him. Okay? So I say, I get my safety from me, not from my son. I get, and it's hurting me to say it right now, so I'm going to say it 10 times. Because if I say it 10 times, it rewires. I get my safety from inside me, not from my son. I get my safety from inside me, not from my son. I say I don't believe it yet. That's why I have to do the repetition. I get my safety from inside me, not from my son. I get my approval from inside me, not from my son. I get my approval from inside me, not my son. Of course, I get my approval from me, not inside my son. Okay. So I begin to rewire. Do you see that process?
Yeah.
So what happens is you saw that my brain gave me just the information that I needed, which was the unreasonable expectation, just by opening up the circuit. Okay, and I am now at 1. Okay, I mean, that's what happens. So we have a whole bunch more power over our stress level than we think.
Now, did you call it?
I did not.
Okay, good for you.
University on plasticity shows us that you've got to open the emotion. If you want to stay calm, forget it. You're not going to transform. You have to find a safe way, which this tool gives you, to go into your feelings so they don't get stuck and they're productive. And only when you open up that circuit really, really fully, does the synapses, the old expectation become fluid, and it only lasts a few minutes. So we know that it lasts at least 20 or 30 minutes and that's when they're open. And we also know from her that 6 hours later, it's totally closed. So you have all these wires inside of you that if you have the emotional skills to activate them, you can reconsolidate them in the form that you want. I could have chosen a different expectation. Now, this is important. All these circuits, the ones that we have, are stored in the brain in a brain-specific way. It's called, you know, specific memory. So when you're at brain state one, and you're outside, and it's sunny, and you're so happy, and you're in love with life, you think that you're that happy because of what's happening now. No. It's because in that state, the other circuits, the other experiences you had at brain state one are activated too. So it's amplifying your stress, and that's why it lies as a multi-layered experience, because all the other circuits are actually changing our experience. Well, if that's the case, you can imagine what happens down in 4 and 5. In other words, when you're in that state, that's why everything looks so bad, because all of those other experiences of bad time are ramping it up, okay? But it's interesting that these are now online. When you're in brain state 5, these circuits open up for change, and these open up for change. So you've got to go there to transform, to get it in those drawers. So there's two kinds of circuits that are problems. So what I first told you is a little bit about self-regulation. You can learn 5 tools that will give you the power to switch your brain state, which changes everything. And learn them pretty quickly. It takes about 5 or 7 days, something like that. You have to learn it stepwise, because that's how the brain works. But people go into this work for the longer term because these guys are really the villains. You know, you pop yourself to one, and all of a sudden you got triggered by your ex-boyfriend. You get triggered by a boss who looks at you with a different, a funny expression. You get overwhelmed because you have back pain, and all of a sudden you feel like you can always have back pain. So these are the circuits that cause us the most trouble. This is what's really hard. These circuits are unconscious, and they cannot be rewired at brain state 5 because the brain is too whacked out. They're self-directed. They have to be somehow accessed and brought up to 4 when we can use the cycle tools to rewire them. When I was in really whacked out, really, really upset when I was 9 and really, really felt alone and abandoned, I was at a Girl Scout meeting, and I reached for a brownie. I actually stole the brownie off the counter. And then someone came to me and said, how dare you? You can't have anything more, and really, really shamed me. Seems like a little experience for a 9-year-old, but I developed one of these survival circuits. I get my safety from sugary food. Mm-hmm. And then it goes underground, and that emotional experience is what's fueling us. And we can't really change our behavior until we melt the emotional experience, because it's just as if a lion is chasing me. I have to get the food. I have to get the food. And now we know how to rewire these, and so we can stop making people miserable by trying to for them to change their behavior when an emotional survival circuit, you know, you can't argue with a lion. I mean, this is a really strong circuit. So the first thing is to figure out what our survival, most of us have 3 survival circuits. I get my safety from something behavioral. I get my safety, and this means survival. This means I'm totally unconscious, but it drives us. I get my safety from overthinking or being depressed, or being numb, or what's another one? People get stuck in this. People need to feel familiar, because this happens to them. What's another mood that we get stuck in? Self-pity? Yeah, self-pity's good. Rage, hostility, but what's important to know from these circuits is when these get triggered, we're not thinking well. And it has a really strong drive, and we probably won't change until that association between survival and that person. And almost everyone has in stress a relational one, which is I distance or I merge. Many people tend to distance when they're stressed. Many people tend to merge. People do both. Yeah. Okay. Well, see, when we rewire these circuits, it becomes really easy to have intimacy, to be healthier, to be more emotionally balanced. And then there are these in brain state 4 that are false generalizations. They were true for a minute, but the brain generalizes and say they're always true again. They're just rumbling around unconscious. And there are 7 of those. And these can be rewired too. So if inside each of us right now, this is basically secure attachment, expectations of secure attachment. We have dominant one of these 2. When we're really stressed out, they only come out when they're really stressed out. I do exist or I do not exist. Because remember, the stress response is obliteration. It's beyond fear. We really feel we don't exist. I am bad. I am not bad. I do have power. And these are all rumbling inside of us unconsciously, and that's what ramps up our stress. I cannot do good. I can do good. I cannot love. handle it. I am worth, not worthy, I am worthy. And I can't have any joy. I am joy. That's our very nature. So these are circuits that we, those of us who are practical, those of us who have a can-do attitude, now have tools that we can actually access, identify which circuits we want to rewire, and actually open them up and rewire them over time. This is not a quick fix. It takes time. But the idea is, so far, we have a research center at UCSF, the Center for Emotional Brain Training Research, and there's research going on with NIH at UCSF on EBT, as well as at Cornell. And, you know, just the preliminary results that we have, this is a 6-year study, but it's a small study, to show that depression levels went down and stayed down 6 years later on the average. Weight, which usually just snaps back up, also improved. So we're beginning to see that as you go to the root cause, the emotional brain and rewiring, this is why this is the age of the emotional brain, it may be that we can have broad spectrum improvements and you know, just get better. So the idea is, I'll go through a tool with you if you like, but the take-home message is about the tools is the most important thing is to get up in the morning and say to yourself, what am I doing with my day? I am creating joy. And the reason is, Davidson has shown that the left prefrontal cortex, when it is activated, that is a joy response. And the right prefrontal cortex, when that's activated, that's a stress response. And he has shown that people who have are highly effective at marshaling an activation of a joy response, the stress response on scan goes away. So in other words, I believe, and I think this has just been the last 10 years or so, I believe the stress levels are so high now that calming ourselves down and relaxing is not enough. The rewards at brain state 5 that are hedonic, artificial, compulsive and addictive are going to be the norm in our society unless we train people how to move through stress and get hooked on those higher level rewards such as authenticity, integrity, safety inside, vibrancy, intimacy, spirituality. And so the idea is that joy swamps stress and we need to use it now because stress levels are so high. Stress is a moment of opportunity. Many times at UCSF we train physicians in this, and many times they stay in grade state 1, 2, and 3. And I say, what a pity. I'm really sorry, because you can't transform. And because, you know, the environment is good enough that they can kind of get by. You know, they have the creature comforts in life that they can get by, and they don't go to 4 or 5 as much. So I had a medical student come in, because Igor Mitrovich and I, who collaborate on this method, teach medical students and graduate students at UCSF at an elective. The other day, a woman came in, and you know how you just sort of listen to your students sometimes, and you're just milling around, not necessarily showing that you're listening, but you're just rapt attention. What are they saying? She says, oh, I had the best week. My husband got sick. My landlord threw us out, and I had a cold. And the other person says, cool, that's great. Yeah, I zapped 3 different circuits. EBT is compassion. You know, if you think that all of us spend our entire lives at one of those 5 brain states, and it's normal to be in all of them in any given day, given how stressful everything is. Okay, right? It's just normal to be through. And you know, you get kind of with this work, you get kind of wired at one, and then something like happens, like your mother, my mother died, and then my father got really sick, and all these new, and then my children left. And so life is always changing, and anytime there's a new experience, we form an allostatic circuit. So the work is never done, and it's just, we keep on evolving. So everyone is in brain state 5 some of the time. So when you say to your partner, you say, oh, God, you know, he or she is so obnoxious. You know, watching television, being numb, and what's wrong with him anyway, right? And you say, but, you know, that's brain state 5, and I think I was in brain state 5 last night. And so the message is all of compassion, that we can always go to those states. And it's wonderful that the brain is giving that message. And secondly, lastly, if when something goes wrong, you go to the refrigerator, you snap back at someone, you talk to your children the way you want, you just take a big deep breath and say, well, thank goodness, it's just a wire. If I want to, I can rewire it. There are courses on EBT. That's what we give, seven sessions, and then longer-term work. And we do this at UCSF as a student elective, and the Chancellor's Council and faculty elective trained about 100 faculty there. And then there are EBT groups in the evening and at lunchtime so that they can move through the advanced courses and get that kind of support. And so, anyway, I wanted to thank you for being here. And if you'd like to, I'll teach you a tool, or otherwise we'll go. What do you think?
Tool.
Because I can take three. How long does the tool take?
You know what I could do? Is there's two things we could do, which is I could teach everyone the three tools, and then I'll stay for anyone who wants, and I'll teach you the four tool, which really rocks.
So there's going to be an FML training in here starting at 1:30.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, let's do. By the way, there are courses on ebt.org, and there's free access to these tools on there. There's a course that's inexpensive, but there's also just if you want to play with the tools, you can just get a membership, and that's free. Let me see. I'm gonna if you want, what we'll do is we'll learn about emotional house cleaning. Okay, how many people are at three right now? Okay, this is so find a partner. Everyone who's three at three, find a partner. One of the things about this work is that each tool only works for the brain state you're in. Okay? Okay, so find a partner.
Yeah. Thank you. Please stand by.